This is an exciting thing. It was fun this morning to just see the fellowship and the community that was happening before the service. There was a little bit of a buzz and just a good, healthy murmuring and noise happening in the sanctuary as people enjoyed each other's company. And thank you for being part of Community 101, our effort to try to bring people together and to bring people here to welcome early in the morning. And that is a wonderful thing to see. How was your Thanksgiving? Yes, very nice. Anyone brave Black Friday at the stores? And you're still smiling. Well, then you should talk about from complaints-giving to Thanksgiving. No. Okay, so a few people braved that, but this week we had an opportunity to put into practice what we talked about last week. How did that go? A little bit of chuckles here and there, some thumbs up. I have rarely been so proud to see a congregation struggle so much. Probably wondering, that's an odd way to begin. And it's not that we struggled in the sense of we blew it, although at times, but throughout the week I had so many of you talk about being aware of how much complaining we do. And being aware, some of you said that even before we got to Sunday school, already it was there and complaining had already happened in your life. And it wasn't people complaining about other people, but it was people saying, wow, I need to work on this. Because my prayer was that this week it wouldn't be so much that we'd be perfect, although that would be nice, but it's just not going to happen here, but that we'd begin to be aware of just how much we complain. Of just how negative we are sometimes, how much we argue, how much we look at people and think that we're right and they're wrong, how many times we do that. And that's from that simple verse in verse 14 where Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Such a short little verse, but so difficult to apply. Because it strikes at the heart of so much of who we are. It strikes at the heart of our sin nature, of our natural man. And so today we're going to look at three more verses in this passage as Paul concludes this argument. Last week at the beginning I asked you, what are some typical complaints that you'd hear at Thanksgiving? And I wrote them down. So I know what you were complaining about. No, what you would hear other people complaining about. But this morning, as Paul finishes his argument, it's about taking those complaints and turning those into an attitude of joy, an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude that is giving God praise and glory. And so as Paul goes on, he's going to talk about it in terms of how other people are affected by that and how other people perceive that and how that could motivate us. But it's about turning the complaints, turning the murmurings, the things that happen under our breath, into thanksgiving. And I want to go through some of the complaints just at the beginning from last week. And throughout the morning, we're going to just do some practical things to work on our attitude of gratitude, as John was saying. To work on coming up with a practical way to help us stop complaining. The complaints last week, and what I'd like you to do is turn these into positives. The turkey is overdone. That could be a complaint. What could be a positive out of that? What's a different way of looking at that?
You get to put more gravy on it.
You get to put more gravy on it? Woohoo! At least it's not fish. Praise God, we have a turkey. A lot of people don't have anything this Thanksgiving. See a difference? And so this morning we're talking about how do we go from an attitude of complaining to a different mindset, which joy is all about changing a mindset. So-and-so is late. We're glad you're here. At least they got here. What if something had happened? More time to get ready. More time to eat the candy before... No. Nobody's helping. Praise God, I have an opportunity to serve. Praise God, that means they're enjoying themselves. Let's go back to Philippians 2, 3, and 4. No. Very nice. He's stealing from my plate. Less calories. Don't have to diet as for lunch. Praise God that I have family that feel comfortable. Praise God that I can be with family and we can have fun together. And do you see how we can start to take those things that annoy us, those things that we complain about, and start to turn them into an attitude of thanksgiving? The title this morning is From Complaintsgiving to Thanksgiving, or either one, and it's a choice that we make. And we could go on and do these for the other ones. The kids are awful. Or their kids are awful. And so-and-so, I can't even read my own writing there. Well, we'll skip that one because I'm not sure what I wrote. But we could go on with those, and we start to come up with a different attitude. Now, this is not something that we accomplish in 1 week. As so many of you shared, you said this was actually a lot harder than you anticipated. One comment that someone said was, okay, we got through Sunday and we did okay, but do we really have to do it again on Thursday with family? Do we really have to work on not complaining? So there's reasons Paul uses this as his culminating argument. Last week, starting at verse 14, we studied, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And we talked about different aspects of that. We talked about taking your walk seriously in verse 12 and obeying and continuing to obey. We talked about letting God work because He's the one that does the work in verse 13. In verse 14, we heard the admonition to stop whining, to guard our attitudes. And in verse 15, we started to see the result. The result in ourselves, blameless and pure, known as children of God. The result to the world that we will shine like stars in the universe. And I hope you saw some stars this week. I hope you were a star this week. Because what an opportunity in a family setting when everyone is so tempted to complain to shine bright. To shine bright. As Paul goes on, and we're going to pick up the second half of verse 16 through 18, Paul begins to add just a little bit more reason why it is so important to watch our attitude, why it is so important to become thankful. And we have in the middle of verse 16, if you look there, and open your Bibles to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 16. Philippians 2, verse 16. And in verse 16, in the middle of that verse, Paul uses the word in order that, and he's again using a logical transition here. He said, do nothing or do everything without complaining and arguing. And he used so that the world will see you as stars, basically. And then he continues and says, and if you do that, this is what happens. In order that, and let's read verse 16, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. And as we work to have a different attitude, as we work to find the motivation to get rid of complaining, to be thankful, to be joyful, the first thing that Paul brings up in this text is to realize that people have invested in you. People have invested in you. People have put their time into your life. And that means something, or at least it should mean something. Whether it be your mom and dad or some other family that has invested in you spiritually, whether it be your church or your Sunday school teacher, your youth pastor, your pastor, you have been invested in. And one of the worst things about an investment is if you get no return on your investment. Or right now, if you're in stocks, negative return. And so remember that people have invested in you and give them a good return for your investment, for their investment. Live up to that investment. Paul says, in order that I may boast or glory in or enjoy, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Paul here, as he's talked about the benefits here on earth, now shifts to heaven and says, someday I'm going to be before my Lord and Savior. I'm going to be there, and I challenge you to live in such a way that I can stand before God and say, praise you, God. Look at what the church at Philippi is doing. Look at what the church in Garden Grove is doing. Look at what my investment has done, because it's not about the things we accumulate. It's not about the stuff. It's about the investment that we've made in people. And so many times we challenge you, make investments, make investments, make investments. But this morning, I think the challenge is be invested in. Live like it mattered. Live like someone invested in you. Paul uses a couple of pieces of imagery. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. And run has the idea of an athletic games. And what happens if you run a marathon in a tenth of a mile before the end of the race? Something happens and you can't finish the race. What a letdown. Because you've done all that work and nothing comes of it. Or labor for nothing, often had the idea of working and maybe weaving cloth, and sometimes someone would weave a cloth so poorly that the person wouldn't make payment for it. They would look at the cloth and reject the material and say, uh-uh, that's no good, and they wouldn't make payment for it. So both have this idea of working hard, working long, investing in and pouring in, and at the end, seeing nothing for the results. Paul is saying, hold out the word of life, shine like stars, don't complain, don't argue, in order that I may boast, that I may have joy, that I may glory in you on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing. Moms and dads, I think you especially can understand this verse. As you invest in your kids, as you invest in your sons and daughters, let's say you spend 18, 20, 30, 40 years investing, and they go out and they completely abandon everything that you've taught them. That's the feeling that Paul is trying to avoid. Because that would feel so empty, that would be heartbreaking, that would just tear at your soul. And Paul says, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. For the teens that we have in here, appreciate the investment your parents are putting into your lives. So many times you get to 18, 19, 20, and it's like, yes, I get to make my own decisions. Your decisions affect other people. Your decisions affect your parents who have invested every ounce of their energy in you for 18 years. Don't laugh in their face. Don't spit on that investment. So many times I see churches, and this happens in churches a lot, where a church will invest in people and help them grow, and then something happens and they're gone because, hey, this is Orange County and we have, you know, how many hundreds of churches we can choose from? And we aren't giving a return on the investment. There is a responsibility with being invested in. And in this case, Paul is saying part of that responsibility is to live in a way where you aren't arguing or complaining. Because if you're living a life of arguing and complaining, Paul as the parent or Paul as the investor would be heartbroken. And so if you can't stop arguing and complaining just on your own, think of the people that love you. Think of the people that have invested in you. Don't let their labor be for nothing. This weekend, this last weekend, is the weekend that we usually put up Christmas lights. And I enjoy a few lights. And we were working on a new system and some new wiring, and my dad was there helping me several of the days, and I remember one of the nights we had just wired a bunch of stuff in, and we were about to turn the circuit breakers back on, and we turned the circuit breakers on, and immediately, click, and everything in there goes dark, and there's this little smoke coming out of the receptacle, and which tends to not be what you're looking for with Christmas lights. And that feeling was, we've put in all this work, and at that point, maybe it's not even going to work. Maybe it's going to be worthless. And yesterday, we got more done, and I turn on the control unit, and it's really neat because it's just all black outside. And nothing comes on. And again, that same feeling that all this work for nothing. That's what Paul is saying to avoid. We did get some lights on last night, so that's the good ending to that story. Let me read you a couple verses. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Those that are investing in your lives, those that are over you, are you a joy or a burden? And the complaining and arguing versus an attitude of thanksgiving, that usually defines that. Are you a joy or are you a burden? God says, be a joy. Be a joy. We need to get over ourselves, get over our ideas of how things should be done, and we need to be joys to those that are investing in us. 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Moms and dads, isn't that true? There's no greater joy than when your son or your daughter is living right. Same is true spiritually. There is no greater joy for Paul than when people that he has invested in stop complaining, stop arguing, shine like lights in the universe. Honor people that have invested in you. Live up to that investment. If you need to, take people that are investing in you and have them tell you when you're being negative. That's a little scary. Have them confront you when you're complaining. If we're going to get serious about this, if this is really important, and it is, then we need to take this seriously. And so when someone in your life invests in you, when someone is there that has contributed that way, ask them to hold you accountable. Sometime this week, go ask them. Tell me when I'm being negative. Tell me when I'm complaining. Tell me when you feel I argue with you a little bit. Let's get this under control. Honor people that have invested in you. Secondly, as we go to verse 17, Paul says we need to see things a little bit differently. We need to see things a little bit differently. Verse 17, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And Paul here comes back to his own circumstances, and he comes back to things that should not produce joy. In ordinary life, they produce misery and complaining and just frustration, and people shut down in these circumstances. Remember, he's under house arrest. He's in jail. He's been shipwrecked on the way there. He's been beaten. He all of these things have happened to him. And he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And as Paul is sitting in prison, reflecting on what might come and where his life has been, he's realizing he doesn't know if the end is going to come. He's been through a lot, being poured out. The end of his life might be soon. And in a drink offering, and there's all kinds of different ideas of what this is, but most likely Paul here is drawing from Jewish tradition. And the priests would make an offering, and they'd make an altar, and they'd offer the animal in the Old Testament. And at the end of the offering, they would take either an oil or a wine, a glass of that, and they'd pour it over it. Sometimes they'd pour it around the altar in the front. And it was the completion of the offering. It was the final point of the offering. It wasn't the main offering. The animal sacrifice was the main offering. But it was something that was added to the end that completed it. It was the whipped cream on your mocha. And Paul is using this metaphor to view his own circumstances. And so he's looking at his own circumstances and saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm being poured out as a drink offering, but the real sacrifice, church at Philippi, is what you've been through. This is on the sacrifice, on the service that comes from your faith. This is culminating because you have held firm, because you continue to serve God. And so Paul, instead of saying, oh, I'm in this chair, I'm in prison, I don't get to do what I want, and instead of going off on that, he's focused on other people, saying, look what God has done in you. If I have to suffer a little bit to finish that, to partner with you in that, then praise God. And so Paul begins to see his circumstances differently. He begins to view them in light of ministry instead of in light of me. See, almost every time we complain and we become negative and we get frustrated, it's because I didn't get what I wanted. And Paul's saying, we got to change our view. It's something different. It's fascinating that Paul, great apostle Paul, views his circumstances as less than the church at Philippi. Because the drink offering, like I said, that's not the main offering. And he's saying, what you're going through, the ministry that you're doing, that's the main thing. And I'm just able to partner with you in it a little bit. He's practically applying verse 4, looking out for others' interests rather than our own. His humility shows here in amazing ways, as he sees his work as complementary to theirs instead of the other way around. It's viewing things differently. And at the end of that, through all this, Paul is able to write, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. When those we invest in follow God and hold fast, it brings joy. When we sacrifice ourselves to help others, when we sacrifice ourselves to invest in others, that brings joy, that brings thankfulness rather than complaining. When we sacrifice for our own needs, when we sacrifice for our own wants, that brings complaints. And so it's a different focus, a different attitude. In 2 Corinthians 7:4, Paul writes, I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. And he keeps coming back to the troubles as a source of joy. Because instead of focusing on the troubles, he's saying, look, I can minister to you. He's doing what we did with the Thanksgiving complaints and saying, this is what's good out of that. This is what I should be thinking of. This is what God is doing. Lois, a member of a church, is one of the most thankful people that the pastor knows as the pastor tells this story. When Lois was in the prime of her life, she had a stroke and was confined to a wheelchair. She's still mentally alert, but she cannot walk and do a lot of normal activities. She lives in a convalescent home, and the only time she really gets out is once a week to come to church. Lois's life was changed forever by that stroke. The highlight of her week is Sunday morning when someone comes to pick her up. One day, this particular person went to pick Lois up, and it's sometimes hard for her to get in the car because a smaller car and her legs don't work, and so they had developed this slide board, they called it. In fact, they couldn't get her in the car without the slide board, and it was this fiberglass board that they put under her legs down onto the seat of the car, and she was able to just slide right into the car. It's nothing fancy, just an inexpensive piece of fiberglass. One day, Lois pulled the pastor aside and said, "You know what I thank God for every day? I am thankful for my slide board, because then I can come to church." And it seems like just a simple little statement, but we have Lois who has every reason to complain. Life was good, life was full, and now life has changed forever, and she can't do the things she wants to do. And instead of focusing on those things, she's like, "Praise God for my slide board. Praise God, I can go to church. I can still minister to people. I can still be with God's family." It's going from complaints-giving to thanksgiving. Paul here uses bad circumstances and views what God is doing, what God can do. As you're tempted to complain, I challenge you this week to do exactly what we did with the Thanksgiving complaints. Find a way to turn that around to something to be thankful for. Find a way, and you might say, "Well, Pastor Ron, that's just doing mind games." Well, that's where it starts, with changing how we think, with changing our attitude. It starts with our mind and the choices we make with our mind. We need to start to see the blessings in life. On the right-hand side of your notes, if you pull out that sheet of paper, there's a column that says Thanksgiving. Throughout the rest of our time, just off and on, I'm going to have you do something with that. So if you want to pull that out, if you don't have sermon notes, you can just grab any piece of paper. Anything will work. I'd like you to write down 5 blessings you have in your life. Easy. You should be able to come up with 5 pretty quickly. Just write down 5 blessings that you have in your life. Okay, if you don't have 5 down, then you can add to that later. But we need to keep moving. So keep that piece of paper. So Paul, as his motivation says, remember people have invested in you. Live up to that with your attitude of thanksgiving. Second thing he says is start to look at things differently. He's able to take joy in difficult situations because he's seeing it in terms of partnering with others. He's seeing it in terms of ministry opportunities. Verse 18, yet another short verse corresponding to verse 14. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And this is a command. Paul isn't saying, well, okay, maybe you'll do these things, but the tense here is an imperative, which means choose to do this. You should do this. Not if this happens or this might happen, but make it a personal choice to be thankful. Make it a personal choice to pursue joy and to pass it on to others. You too should be glad and rejoice with me. See, having an attitude of thanksgiving, stopping the complaining, having an attitude that brings joy to people is a choice. That's where it begins. We have to choose to be different. We have to choose to think differently. And Paul is saying, okay, obey this instruction, which is how he started in verse 12. Since you have always obeyed, continue to obey, even when I'm not with you. And he ends with a command. You too should be glad and rejoice with me. It's a choice. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 69:30 and 31, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hoofs. I will. This morning, what will you do? If you said, I will, what would it be? I will give thanks to God even when I feel like complaining. I will let God handle situations even when I think the person's wrong. And Paul here is coming back to some of the situation. They know he's in jail. They're worried about him. They're friends. He said, I'm partnering with you. And so I get great joy out of that. Now he's turning it around and saying, partner with me. See yourself as partners with me in my ministry. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me being in prison. God can handle that. He's not surprised. And he says, you should be glad and rejoice with me. See, joy is one of those things that's very contagious, and thankfulness. And if we choose to do that, and if we choose to view our situations that way, we actually end up helping others do that same thing. Paul doesn't just say, so you too should be glad and rejoice. He's saying, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And the idea is, as a community, the more that we work on this, the more that we come together and say, I can't believe I complained this week, but I'm thankful for this, the more we will all benefit from that. Make it a personal choice to be thankful and pursue joy. We affect others when we bring our complaining and our arguing and our attitudes in line. And the reason I believe this is so difficult, and I said this at the beginning, is because to leave complaining, to leave an attitude of negativity behind, means that we have to leave self. We have to abandon self. And self is the very heart of the sin nature. It's the very origin of sin. If you think of why Satan fell, I can be equal with God. And it's an issue of self. And when we struggle with complaining, it is always an issue with self. And that's why Paul has it here. He's saying if we're to get along as a body, we have to start to kill off self. And that will take the rest of our lives, but let's start now. I think that's why the joy and the thankfulness come in the middle of sacrifice for both the church at Philippi and for Paul, in the middle of being persecuted. Because the thing with sacrifice and the thing with being persecuted is external situations start to strip away self. And the more that self is stripped away, the more we're freed to be thankful, the more that we're freed to have joy. And so Paul is able to say, praise God for suffering, because the bigger picture is God is stripping away my commitment to self. Unless I just hold on and complain and become bitter. Praise God that I might have to sacrifice, because that is stripping away my sense of self that I cling to so dearly. And so when Paul writes, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and will rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul isn't just being joyful and thankful in spite of circumstances and suffering. He's being thankful and joyful because of circumstances and suffering. That's not a health and wealth thing to say. But it's truth. We need to strip ourselves of self. That is the only way we will begin to experience true joy, true thanksgiving. So many times God is offering joy and He's offering an attitude that would make it amazing in the community of faith. And so many times we choose something else. There was a lawyer one time that had successfully handled a law case for a wealthy friend. He had done it for free, but the friend wanted to do something for him, and so he gave him a wallet, a really nice Moroccan leather wallet, in appreciation of his work. And the lawyer looked at the wallet, was a little offended. It's just a wallet. You do understand that my normal fee for this would have been about $500. And you give me a wallet? And the friend says, oh, okay. And he opens the wallet and takes out $500 of the $1,000 that was inside the wallet and hands it back to him. There you go. And because of his complaining, because of his sense of self and what is right and wrong to him, he missed out on the gift that he could have been given. Make it a personal choice to be thankful and pursue joy. Choose thankfulness. Because that opens up God's ability to bless us, to reward us, not with material things, but with a spirit and a heart of thankfulness. As I'm around people, and even this last week, as so many were trying hard to not complain, to be joyful, to be positive, the atmosphere was different. It was an amazing thing what God has started to do here with just that simple verse. Because you enjoy being around that more. You experience what God intended, the gift that He intended. On your sheet of paper, write down 5 more blessings. I know we're interrupting every now and then. The first ones are usually easy, but when you come back to it and have to write more, you tend to get some of the deeper things. 5 more blessings. You can continue to work on that on your own. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. But Paul's made a few points here. Remember that people have invested in you. Be a good return on their investment, especially as they stand before our Lord and Savior. See things differently. Don't see things as trouble. Don't see things as suffering. But see things as an opportunity for ministry, an opportunity to put others first, an opportunity to partner with people. And then in verse 18, we saw that it's a choice. We choose to obey. We choose to be thankful. We choose to pursue joy. And last, this is just a real short observation out of the last 2 verses. Seek out thankful people. Paul says, be thankful because I'm thankful for you. I rejoice and I'm glad. And then he says, be glad and rejoice yourselves with me. And you see this partnership of thanksgiving, this partnership of seeking out people that have just warm spirits. And this may seem just really obvious and really practical. But if you struggle with complaining, if you struggle with being negative, find people that are positive. Spend more time with them. It's amazing what will wear off. Seek people that are positive. Seek thankful people. Paul was one of those people, and so he could say, rejoice and be glad with me. Who do you have in your life that is just a thankful person? Think about that for a minute. Who do you have in your life that is that kind of person? I would bet a lot of you have someone like that. And so be thanking God for them right now. Maybe you need to put them in your blessing column. But if you don't have someone like that, find someone. See, the thing about joy and thanksgiving is it's contagious, just as complaining is contagious. And so what often happens is when we struggle with complaining, when we struggle with a negative attitude, we tend to surround ourselves with people that also like to criticize and complain. Because then we can have a good conversation. We have lots of people to talk about. But what if you're with someone who is just one of these kinds of people that likes to not complain and be thankful, like God's Word says? And you start to say, well, so-and-so, I can't believe what they did. Do you know how late they were? And then they look at you and say, you know, I am so glad they came. It was such a blessing for them to be here. What's your response? And we tend to move to something else to complain about because complaining likes a good reception. Seek out thankful people. Be one of those thankful people. Write 5 more blessings on your right-hand column. It's about changing our attitude, changing our mindset. Paul says, live in such a way that my labor is not in vain. Remember you're invested in. And live like it. He says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, but I'll be glad and rejoice. It's about changing how we view things, changing our perspective, having a ministry perspective. He says, so you too be glad, should be glad and rejoice. He's talking about obedience, a decision to obey, a decision to change this. And throughout all of this, we see partnerships where glad people need to seek out glad people. And these verses conclude a whole section in Philippians where he's talking about body life. All the way from chapter 1, verse 27 to verse 18 of chapter 2. That's like one paragraph. One thought of how we should live as a body. So I thought it was fitting today as we end this section to just read it. The whole section. We've studied it, we've applied it, we've learned from it. Hear God's word. Philippians 1, 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering from your faith, on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, may we be glad and rejoice with each other. Lord, as we finish this section on body life and how we should live as a body, how we should treat each other, may you challenge us to put this into practice, to truly think of each other as more important than ourselves, to truly work on no more arguing, no more complaining. Give us a heart of gladness, a heart of joy, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, God. May we be thankful in you. Thank you for your word and the power it brings. In your name, amen.